Amid escalating tensions with Iran, the United States is putting new pressure on countries to join its mission to protect oil shipments in the Gulf. Singapore is being asked to join, a former Supreme Allied Commander for NATO tells me, and he expects more European countries will join the existing signatories, limited at the moment to just Australia, Britain and Bahrain. Last weekend's assault on Saudi oil installations are the impetus for the new US push. At the same time, Saudi officials have laid out maps and twisted metal remnants, explaining their case that Iran was behind the attacks using 18 drones and 7 cruise missiles, though they're still working on a definitive launch point. An act of war is how the US Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has described it on a trip to Saudi Arabia. His boss, the US President, is less definitive.
There's the ultimate option, and there are options a lot less than that. And we'll see. Right now, we're in a very, very powerful position.
When you say the ultimate option, are you talking about...
No, I'm saying the ultimate option, meaning go in war. No, I'm not talking about that ultimate option, no.
Donald Trump. Well, James Stavridis is a former Supreme Allied Commander to NATO. He's a retired US admiral who was vetted by Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump for senior roles. He's also commanded Australian forces in theatres like Afghanistan. I asked him, what are the chances of a military conflict? Admiral Stavridis, thank you very much for speaking with us. The US Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in Saudi Arabia. On his way, he described the attacks on the Saudi oil facilities last weekend as an act of war. President Trump is being a bit more circumspect. Do you think a military confrontation is likely?
I think the chances of a military confrontation are rising. And whether or not it breaks into full-blown combat or whether the United States and the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia choose to use covert action or whether they strictly take a diplomatic path is unclear at this point. But I would say the chances of a confrontation, a military confrontation, have risen from, let's say, 1 in 10 to something like 1 in 5. So that's a significant jump as a result of the attacks on the Saudi oil fields.
The Saudis have in the past day shown what they say is evidence that the attacks on the oil fields came from Iran. They've shown maps and debris from missiles and drones. It didn't seem to be conclusive in terms of some of the key data, like the launch point for the attacks. Do you think the evidence is conclusive that it was Iran?
It feels to me that it is. It's probably not quite as conclusive. You'll recall the videos that were taken several months ago showing Iranian Quds forces removing a mine from a tanker in the Gulf, which had failed to go off. I think that was extremely convincing that Iran was behind the attacks on the tankers. Personally, I would say I'm about 95% convinced, because so often crime is where motive meets capability, and I don't see any other actor who is likely to have taken this dramatic a step, nor do I see another actor in the region that has this capability alongside the motivation. So when I put all that together with the evidence that's been presented, I'm pretty far along, not 100%, but let's call it 95%.
You mentioned some of the options from combat to covert action to diplomacy. What do you think the president's instinct will be, and what kind of advice will he be getting now that he has a new national security advisor, his fourth, in Robert O'Brien?
He will be given a package of options that run from the very diplomatic, present the evidence, take it to the UN Security Council, attempt to get international condemnation for this kind of activity, up to covert activity using cyber, special forces, some level of unmanned vehicles, to very dramatic action. He'll be given all of those options. I believe that President Trump, as he heads into a re-election campaign in 2020, has very little interest in creating a big shooting war in the Gulf. He ran on getting us out of those wars, and particularly now that National Security Advisor Bolton has departed, who was the real Iran hawk in the administration, and the incoming National Security Advisor, Robert O'Brien, is more diplomatically oriented. He's been conducting hostage release negotiations. I think there'll be some speed breaks on the movement toward actual combat, both political and in terms of the personalities in the administration.
The focus prior to last weekend had been on protecting oil shipments through the Straits of Hormuz. Only Britain, Bahrain and Australia have signed up to the US mission in the Gulf to protect those shipments. You deployed on five missions to the Strait of Hormuz during 87-88, the so-called tanker war. Is this still a useful approach to protecting those shipments in your view?
It absolutely is, and I want to commend the nations that have signed up, and I suspect there will be more, particularly now that requests will be made in the wake of these very significant attacks. I think you'll see some of our European NATO partners sign up. I think you will see additional Pacific partners who might be willing to sign up and be part of this. I'm in Singapore today. Certainly they will be approached. I think that the more Iran, assuming this is Iran, the more Iran attacks global shipping of oil, either by attacking tankers or oil fields or terminals, I think the higher premium will be on conducting these operations. And I'll close by saying, having done these personally at every level in my career, from very junior officer to commanding destroyers doing the mission to being in charge of the carrier strike group that had overall responsibility, and of course as Supreme Allied Commander of NATO, it is effective and can push back on the Iranians' ability to disrupt the flow of oil coming in and out of the Strait of Hormuz.
At the end of the day, though, there are many who've been critical of President Trump for pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal, saying that this has really kicked this whole cycle off. Do you think that there's going to have to be a return to some sort of deal over that fundamental question of Iran's nuclear ambitions?
I certainly believe that negotiation is the correct path forward. Whether the previous deal was a good deal or a bad deal kind of doesn't matter anymore. It's a dead deal. We need a new deal. And to get there, we're going to have to put additional pressure on Iran to come to the table. And I think we're going to have to signal to Iran that we're willing to have a serious negotiation that will very quickly lift these sanctions that is crippling their economy. But at the moment, we're locked in a extremely inefficient kind of stalemate, and I think you're going to see more escalation, as in the situation will unfortunately probably get worse and more tense before it gets better.
And I must ask you, the Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison is heading to the United States today. He's going to have a rare state dinner with President Trump at the White House. He said this week Australia is a partner that pulls their weight in the alliance with the US. Is there a risk for Australia, though, that it simply says yes too often when there are really very complex issues for Australia and the Asia-Pacific Indian Ocean regions to consider now too?
I would say that throughout my career, I have had the chance to visit Australia many times as a serving naval officer. I've operated with Australian maritime forces. I've commanded Australian land forces in Afghanistan, for example, and your terrific air forces as well. There is no more professional set of military actors in the world than the Australian Armed Forces. We're very lucky that Australia has, in fact, stood with the United States again and again, from Korea to Vietnam to Iraq to Afghanistan. Whether or not to step up and sail alongside the United States, so to speak, that's a decision for Australians to make. I will tell you, as an American, when we see that Australian flag alongside ours, we know that we're in the presence of a partner, a friend, an ally that is absolutely second to none.
Admiral James Stavridis, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Linda, my pleasure.
Retired US Admiral James Stavridis, who's a former Supreme Allied Commander to NATO.